Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. There's a friend of ours that's watching right now on YouTube. Her name is Ingrid. Hello, Ingrid. We just want to say hello. We love you. We're praying for you. And I hope you enjoy this service. Amen. And your beautiful home there in San Marcos. And so God bless you for joining us this morning. And Mary Lee and Louie say hi. And they're here with us now. And so one day you're going to come and be with us in our little sanctuary here. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, God. And so we're going to go to the screen here. Amen. If you have your cell phones, fax machines, and scanners, if you could put them on the silent mode. Amen. Amen. Here we go. I entitle this morning's message, Send Me, Lord, Send Me. You know, most messages that God gives me, God speaks to me in certain situations. Sometimes it could be a person, place, or thing. Well, last Sunday, when Minister Marty was speaking, he said one thing that struck out to me. He goes, you know, I've been called a minister. And it's, you know, and I believe it's not just to come and preach on a Sunday. I said, you're right. You're right. And God spoke to me regarding this. We're going to break that down. Because the Bible says we're all called to be ministers. Can I get an amen? We're all called to be ministers. And not just for a Sunday. We're called to be a minister 24/7. We're called to be a minister in our home life, on our job. Hallelujah. In public, amongst our family, we're called to minister 24/7. Minister is just someone that is privileged by God to speak the truth, to speak the word of God. Can I get amen? Amen. Amen. And so I'm going to piggyback off what you said, brother, because we're going to go deeper now, and we're going to see through the word of God. We're called to be ministers. Amen. And so let's go to Isaiah 6. If you have your Bibles, Isaiah 6, this was a time when Isaiah was given a word of the Lord, and a unique thing happened to Isaiah. The angel touched his lips to speak the word. I'm here to let us know that the day that we gave our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, God touched your lips, no differently, to speak the word, to minister to the lost, to raise up your family in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to strengthen you, to let you know that He has your back, He has your front, He's got your top and bottom. Can I get amen? Amen. And He's leading and guiding you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so let's look at Isaiah 6 and 6 through 10. And the Word of God reads, Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me. Turn to your neighbor and say, Send me.
Send me.
Send me. Let me just say this. If God has anointed you, appointed you, and approved you, He's given you the AAA card, hallelujah, then you are to say, God, send me. Use me. I don't have to wait for a Sunday. Send me every day. Send me in the highways and the byways. Help me reach my family, my friends, my aunt, my uncle, my grandparents. Did you know we're the generation that has gone back to bring the gospel to our parents? You know why? Because generation of past, there was a yoke on us. We were in bondage. But God came in this generation to destroy those chains. Can I get amen? Amen. To destroy them. And we are now the generation to go back to them and then to minister to the young. Hallelujah. God did a mighty work. He did a mighty thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, I had my Wheaties this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Look at this. Hallelujah. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Look at verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of the people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. What God is saying here, Isaiah, you go, no matter if they don't hear you, no matter if they don't see you, no matter if they don't perceive you, but you keep on, hallelujah, pressing. Keep on reminding them, hallelujah, until I get a hold of their heart. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Just because you preach one time to them, hallelujah, and you don't see anything, doesn't mean God is not at work. I'm here to let you know, hallelujah, what you start in something, God will finish it. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Nothing will ever come back void with God. Thank you, God. So let's look at this right up here. Called to be a minister. We're called to be a minister. I've got scriptures to let us know that we are called to do just that. And you know what minister means? It means sharing the love of God. Raising up those in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Blessing one another. Edifying them. Hallelujah. Helping their character grow. Correcting those things that need to be corrected. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Those are the things that are called. Now, look what it says here in Ephesians 4:10. It reads, and he himself, who's he? God. He himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, of the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So those of you like Sons of Thunder that come up here, it's not just for Sunday. Can I get amen? It's for every day. Every day, every day, every day. Here, you have an opportunity to reach thousands who may listen across the world. Right now, there's someone in San Marcos watching. Hallelujah. And according to Google Analytics, Asia is downloading our messages more than anywhere around the world. It's probably South Korea, because that's a Christian-believing nation. Hallelujah. Everything you share up here, the world is going to hear. Can I get amen? You may not get your local likes. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Let me just say this. What you do for God will never come back void. There's people who's going to listen to this message, the messages you guys have preached, and touch someone's life, and you'll never know it until you get to the other side. You'll never know. And it's not for us to know that. It's for God to know. Amen? God just says, I'm going to use you. Are you willing to be used? Thank you, God. Look at verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. There's a lot of false doctrine out there. Did you catch that? We cannot be tossed to and fro. You have to be rooted and grounded. You have to grow with the knowledge of the Lord. Hallelujah. You have to be under an umbrella. You have to follow the structure. We just read what God gave. pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, right? So us, we need to be under that type of covering so that we can what? Receive instruction to go out and to minister. Thank you, God. Why? Because there's deceitful people that are plotting, that want to pull you in a whole different direction. I was asked about this one particular denomination. I said, be careful, because those Seventh-day Adventists, they're Saturday thumpers. What do I mean by that? Those people believe if you're not worshiping on Saturday, you're going straight to hell. Oh, they believe that. And there's no Holy Ghost evident in their life. A case in point. I worked at Veteran Real Estate in National City. I was in there, you know, with my Bible on my desk and everything. There was two in there from that denomination, Seventh-day Adventists. And Gary Gerhardt would go outside, smoke a pack out there, come back in. And he used to stand right in front of my desk. Do you know everything in that Bible? I go, yeah. He goes, what day do you worship on? I go to church on Sunday. He goes, nope. He goes, you're not in truth. And here I am looking at him smoke like a train. And I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. The anointing is coming all over me, man. And, you know, and I'm looking at that and the stench. And he's telling me, I let you know, doctrine, that type of trickery of men, doesn't keep you, doesn't anoint you, should have no power over you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. Because we need to come into the knowledge of the truth. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every joint that supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Hallelujah. Many of us have gifts and callings. Some of you are gifted to go preach. Some of you are gifted to go serve. Some of you have the gift of helps. Some of you love to go to hospitals and pray for them. That's a gift. Some of you love children and you're raising them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But we all are one body. That's why the apostle is different from the bishop, and the prophet is different from the teacher, and the pastor is different from all of them. Why? The pastor is responsible for the flock that God places in his care. Can I get amen? Amen. The teacher can be every one of us in here. The prophet, God, if God will use you as a prophet, you'll speak a prophetic word. But here's the thing. You better know it's from the Lord. Because if you speak false prophecy, you'll be labeled as a false prophet. Praise God that we don't do rock stoning here no more. I just won't listen to that person again. Can I get amen? And so let's look at this up here. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost and anointing. To be a true minister of the gospel, you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God. How do I know this? You got to go to the Word. Always go back to the Word. What do you mean? You can't just say, you know, hey, I give my heart. You know, everyone says a sinner's prayer every now and then. But are you filled with power? And do you know, is there evidence? You know, here's the thing. This is what a detective looks for. He looks for evidence to indict someone. Can I get amen? If he's going to indict someone, he's got to find the evidence. So what's the evidence in our life? Number one, and you need to be empowered by God. Can I get amen? If you're not empowered by God, you are walking in the flesh. And the flesh will crash and burn eventually. But if you're filled with the power, whoo, now you're strengthened by God. God, whoo, he'll keep you. Look at this in Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria to the end of the earth. Well, guess what? Turn to your neighbor and say, your Samaria is your neighbor. Hallelujah. Listen, you don't have to go to the Middle East. Our Judea and Samaria is the one that lives next door to you, is the one that lives across the street from you, is your relative that are unsaved, that don't serve God. That's your Judea and Samaria. When the power comes upon you, you will share with them. Can I get an amen? Now, we're going to see what this power does. Now look at this. Romans 8 and 9. I need you to catch this. This is my license plate. Romans 8 and 9. When you see my license plate, it says Romans 8 and 9. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Did you catch that? But you are not. Look at this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Tell your neighbor, you are in the Spirit. Now look at this though. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Did you catch that? I need you to catch that for a minute. Don't let it just zip by. Don't let it go zippity-doo-dah. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not what? His. You know, that lets me know that churches around the world, there are people that are his and not his. Can I get an amen? Not everyone in church is saved. Not everyone in church has the Holy Spirit. You'll know if you have the Holy Spirit. You know why you'll know? Because you'll want the things of God. They come automatically. You want to worship now. You want to praise now. You want to tell others about Jesus. It compels you automatically. You don't have to be reminded. You don't have to be taught. You just got to go, hallelujah, and say, God, send me. He'll give you words what to speak. Remember Moses, I don't know how to speak, Lord. He goes, go. Go. I'll put the words in your mouth. Can I get amen? I'll put the words in your mouth. And I'll take the vulgar out. Some of us are filled with vulgar. God will get rid of it if you give it to him. If you take it from me, God, I don't want this no more. I don't want this to send me to hell. Jesus, help us. Look at this story right here in Acts 13. Look at this. Acts 13, 1. Now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, was also called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they what? What did they do? They squawked at them. They shouted at them. They scolded them. No. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. See, we've been called. Can I get amen? If you don't think you've been called, think again. Hallelujah. Each and every one of us has been called by God. Thank you, Lord. Now look at verse 3. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away, being sent out by the who? By the Holy Spirit. They went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. So what did God do? He ministered to them, empowered them, and they went to what? Go preach, right? Look at verse 6. Now when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet. I know there's a lot of false prophets. How many of you heard false prophets already before. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. False prophet. A Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with Proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Praise God. Look at this. Verse 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them. Okay, so he withstood them. He knew that they were men of God. Look at this. Seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So this man was plotted there. Did you know there's some people that can be plotted in your church, making people to go? Making them turn from the faith, and they're skedaddling out here, and they don't know why they're leaving. Well, this is what this sorcerer, this false prophet was doing. There's people all over in different churches that go in there with a Jezebel spirit. And we'll go, hey, guess what? And then they got that one to go. This is what this sorcerer was doing. And so Paul and Saul had to go there. Hallelujah. And make things right. And chase that devil out of there. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And then guess what? Then God will say, enough is enough. I'm going to chase him out.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God said, I'll chase him out then. Look at this. Seeking to turn proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil. What? He called him the son of a devil. There are people that are working the work of satanic prayers and praying in satanic tongues. Thinking that, oh, I'm all that. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. And he said, oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil. You enemy of righteousness. They're enemy of righteousness. What God calls holy, they're against it. They want to tear down anything that's good. And destroy it. It's like dropping a bomb and then they leave. You ever been around a crowd and someone just dropped one? And then they run away, they leave. And you're there, man, oh my God. Jesus help us.
Hit and run.
Hit and run. Full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the, you enemy of righteousness. Will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? My goodness. Look at verse 11. And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. Look at that. A curse came on that false prophet. Jesus. Listen, those of you that know false prophets, all you have to do is say, Lord, have mercy on them. Because you know what? God will get a hold of them. You don't have to say a word bad about them. Can I get amen? Don't even say nothing bad about them. You know how they're rolling. Say, God, I give. Shut my mouth, God. I'd rather just show a blessing. And then God will do what you're seeing here. He'll fight your enemy. He'll destroy them. He'll do something, man, that you, whoa. Oh, yes. Oh, God. Let me share this with you. When we first started Amazing Grace, there was about almost 150 of us. And we were at the Regal Cinema Theater. None of you were there. None of you in here were there. Oh, Cuz. Cuz. Oh, Cuz was there. Yes. Yes, Uncle. You remember how?
I heard God tell me, depart from Shepherd Mountain.
Yes, I remember that. I remember. Yes, Cuz, I'm sorry. You were there. And listen, let me just say this. A family member rose up and came against me in the ministry. Went to all my family members, had all my brothers and sisters call a meeting. I sat before them and they were questioning my integrity with my dad and everything else. And then that family member went to my pastor at Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, had a private meeting with them, and all these people were looking at me like I did something wrong and evil, and it wasn't. And he kept coming, and people saying, you need to step down, you need to step down, you just need to step down. And so me and Yolanda, we were just weeping, man. And so, you know what, for everyone's sake, I stepped down. I stepped down. I put the ministry on hold. That same troublemaker, he was a contractor from orange dealer in Iraq, got burned up to a crisp. And when that happened, I heard God say, now I set this yoke free from you. Now go and serve the Lord. The Bible says, touch not my anointed. Can I get an amen? Amen. If God has a call in your life, the gates of hell cannot prevail. That's right. I look at this, and this is when God has you in the palm of his hand, he will fight for you. He will destroy the enemies before you. Now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. Immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. That was the end of that false prophet. Lord, help us, God, in the time that we live in. Help us, God. Look what Paul wrote in the book of Romans here. He wrote this. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God. Look at verse 16 here. That I may be a minister. You see, we are called to be a minister. Can I get amen? Amen. That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ in the things which pertain to God. And so, your whole life pertains to God. And you are to minister to the best of your ability. Just open your mouth and say, God, send me and use me. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's move on to this next. Call, look at this. Call to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to do just that. Look at Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How many of you have family members that are non-believers? Oh, come on. Cousins, uncles, aunts, friends on the job, co-workers, in school. Some of you are still in school. How many? Look at this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So we're looking at a non-believer. How can they call on God? They don't know God. And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Some of them haven't heard about God. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. This is why it's important to be in the word of God. Can I get an amen? Guess what? Because you'll know how to give an answer to those who are seeking truth. When you speak truth to an unbeliever, God will plant that seed of righteousness, of hope in their heart, and then God will cause it to grow. There's nothing you can do no more from that point. You've done your part. You've planted. It's like going out here in my garden. You brought a watermelon seed. You dug up a hole, covered it. And it gets watered every so now and then. It'll pop up a vine. The next thing you know, it'll be a watermelon, right? You see, we don't know when God's going to activate their faith to look to Him. And so when we minister, we plant and we water, but God will give the increase. Amen. Look at Acts 16 right up here. Look at this. 16:9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood, pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen in the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord has called us to what? Preach to them. Meaning to go minister to them. Look at that. I mean, these people back during this time in the book of Acts, did you know that they were real sensitive to the Spirit of God? How many of you can honestly say that you're learning to become sensitive to the voice of the Lord? When God tugs on your heart, when He speaks to you. Well, that's right. And so, Paul wrote to Timothy. He had to tell him. He encouraged him. He charged him. The day's coming when both of you sons of thunder are going to be ordained as pastors. And God will let me know when it's time. But here's the key for both of you. Remain faithful. Remain rooted. Remain grounded. Hallelujah. Don't waver in your faith. Keep pressing. Keep. Then you'll be approved by God and man. Can I get amen? Because God will speak to the man to lay hands on you. And then to ordain you. There are steps with God. The Bible says don't lay hands on someone suddenly. Just because someone's new to the church, don't you lay hands on them. Oh no. They better be seasoned. Can I get amen? They need to grow. They need to sit under your teaching for a while. They need to prove to God that, you know what? I can be taught, God. I can be ministered to, God, so that I can minister to others. You got to let God take your heart and put His heart in your hand and let it become silly putty. Remember silly putty? You can mold it any which way. You got to allow God to do that with your life. So that He could say, now I want to use you real good, big time. So look what He says here. He says here in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. So when the rapture takes place, there's going to be judgment, especially to the unbelievers. What does He say in verse 2? I bolded it right there. Preach the word. Preach the word. Say that with me. Preach the word. One more time. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. In other words, whether it's your time or not to speak on that Sunday, be ready. Can I get amen? Listen, when I call upon one of you to come and bring a word up here, they'll say, well, I didn't have time to study, man. I don't know, man. You're not doing what the scriptures are saying. Be ready in season and what? Out of season. In other words, have a sermon already in your hip pocket. Saying, God, I'm ready to go, God. When you call me, God, here I am. Man, be like a pit bull that's ready to bust loose. Hallelujah. And grab on a pant leg and won't let go. But you come up with it, I've just been too busy, man. Well, you know what? God will say, stay busy then. Keep on doing that. I'll use somebody else. God will just tiptoe over you. Just hop over you. I'm going to use you now. Jesus, help us. Come on, I know sometimes this hurts us, but we need this. We need to be what? Exhorted. Look at this. Convince. Even rebuke. Don't be afraid to rebuke someone when they need to be rebuked. Exhort with all long suffering, meaning patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. There's some people that don't like this kind of teaching. They'll go somewhere where they can just tiptoe through the tulips. Oh, just tell me how good I am. Just tell me, man, I'm good. I'm good. Don't talk about my sin. Don't talk about my fornication, my adultery. Don't talk about where I go to. Don't talk about the clubs I go to. Don't talk about my vulgar language. Don't talk about that. Leave me alone. You're going to hear truth here. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus, help us. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's going to be people who say, enough of this. I don't want no more. I don't want to hear this no more. And they'll leave. Why? Because they'd rather listen to a lie than to listen to truth. But according to their own desires. See, everyone has their own desires. Because they have itching ears. You ever got a Q-tip and it still itches? They will heap up for themselves teachers. Look at this. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. You catch that? So they would rather go somewhere else that's just coddling them. Where they can hide out. You know those big old churches? It's a place to go hide out. No one sees me here. Yeah, but I came to church. Okay. My conscience is cleared. I'm okay with God. And then you come home and chew out the wife and kick the dog. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your what? Ministry. Fulfill your ministry. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Look what God wrote. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 9:16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. What? We're called to preach. We're called to teach. But woe if you're not doing it. Whoa, if you see someone there, and God said, go talk to them. They need to hear me. Go. Oh, no. That's not you, Lord. And you walk right by them. Whoa. We're called to preach. Can I get amen? We're called to teach. So, we're going to go through, quickly, qualifications. What are the qualifications of a minister of the gospel? How do I qualify to be this? It's through the word. Look at this. These are the scriptures I will be using when ordination comes. So, and when it talks about a bishop, it just doesn't talk about a bishop. It talks about all those in the ministry. But look at this. In 1 Timothy 3:1, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be what? Blameless. The husband of one wife. Temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not what? Covetous. If you're one of those greedy people and it's all about me, what do I want? Forget about it. Wait till God purges that out of you. Look at this, verse 4. One who rules his own house well. Men, are you ruling your house well? Singles, are you ruling your house well? Single parents, are you ruling your house well? Come on, this is all for all of us. Can I get amen? Look at this. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. Do your children reverence God in your family? Are you teaching them the values of God? Are you teaching them to respect one another, to respect you, and to respect others outside of your household? This is what God wants from our life as ministers. Like you said, brother, it's not just for Sunday. Can I get amen? This is for every day. The moment we wake up, are we ministers? Can we be called a minister? Look at this. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Did you catch that? Listen, if you're in disarray at home, there's no way God is going to allow you to run a church. If it's chaotic at home, guess what? That same spirit will follow you inside the church. And then that church will be chaotic too. Look at this. See, this is what needs to be taught in church. Thank you, God. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Wow. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. See, the devil can't wait to bite into you. He's there lurking. He's there examining your life. He's looking for a crevice and a crack to slip in and to tear you away from God's anointing. You see, the only thing that can destroy the works of the devil is the anointing of God. The anointing, hallelujah, when it's spoken out of your mouth, devils will run. Yes. Devils will flee. People will get, hallelujah, delivered and set free. But you got to speak the word. Right. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at this. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the wicked one. Look at this. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given too much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. God wants us to have pure thoughts. Listen, we're going to get lustful thoughts. As soon as they come, get rid of them. Don't let them have a party in your mind. Rebuke them. Get this thought out of here. I know it came from you, old slew foot. Look at this. But lest those also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found what? Blameless. Blameless. Look at this in verse 11. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Can I get amen? Amen. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let me just say this. Wives and singles, single parent women. Don't do exactly what you see up there on that screen. Operate with humility and love. If you're married, come along your husband and pray for him and have him lead you. If you're leading the household, it's out of order. I'm sorry. It's for the priest of the home to lead, because the woman of the home is the heart of the home. That's where love will be flowing out of her heart for her husband, for her children, for her family. She'll have a tender heart. She'll learn how to love that husband and be led by God because she's trusting God for him. Can I get amen? And for you single sisters, God is your husband. Amen. Jesus is your husband. Can I get amen? What a awesome husband to have. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Look at this. Deacons, the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain from themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in what? Christ Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look what Titus wrote up here in the book of Titus. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in teaching. That means doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Listen, if goodness is coming out of your mouth, guess what? Nothing evil could come back at you.
That's right.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
But if you're one of those ones that slander and speak evil-minded and cursing and all that, it'll come back to you like a boomerang. Oh, yes, it will. Oh, yes, it will. Jesus, help us, God. Look at James 3:1. My brethren, let many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Okay, if you're called to the ministry, guess what? Now you're accountable to God. And the judgment of God will be stricter than to an unbeliever. So there's a responsibility. We should tremble with this precious gift of salvation, and then he's called us to minister. We need to tremble with it. Say, God, give me that mind, God, to honor you always. Give me that mind and that heart to serve you, God. Give me that mind and that heart, oh God, to love you and help me love my family, my wife, my children unconditionally. Don't let me find fault in folk. Because as soon as I find fault in folks, the one that I'm pointing at, there's three more looking right back at me. Help me, God. Look at this. We're exalted in Colossians, ministers. We're going by being, how are we equipped by the word? This is what equips us. It's not what I say. It's what we read and believe and do. Can I get an amen? Look at that. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. God is saying, put these things to death now, ministers. Put away fornication. Put away uncleanness. Put away passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. This is coming on those who walk opposite of those who are walking with God. Look at this. Verse 7. In which you... let's finish this. Verse 6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So God has what? Changed us, huh?
Right.
We're not walking like this no more. At least we shouldn't be. Can I get an amen? Look at this. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Now, these are the things God is saying get rid of. Don't even go there. Look at this. But get rid of anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. If you're still cursing, get it out of your mouth, or the judgment of God will come upon you. Because you're called to be saints now. Can I get an amen? We're not called to be devils. We're called to be saints. We got to get that stuff out. And a lot of us walk in. Some people I know, they're in stronghold. They don't know how to get out. And the only way you're going to get that out is through fasting and prayer.
That's right.
And falling on your face and crying. And get on your face and on your knees and say, God, take this out of me, or I'm going to die in my sin. And sometimes you don't move until God moves you. We had an all-night prayer at North Park Apostolic. We started at 8 at night, and a lot of us didn't come home until 9 o'clock the next morning. And man, I'm telling you, so many people were being delivered of the devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
3 or 4 in the morning, people were being set free. And then the testimonies that came forth, one of them was that they couldn't stop cursing. And God set them free.
Come on.
Hallelujah. God wants to set you free.
Amen.
Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Don't deceive yourselves. Jesus said in the last days we'll be deceived. This nation has you deceived by the spirit of the devil. But we're not spirit. We don't have the spirit of the devil no more. Can I get an amen? We have the spirit of God. Hallelujah. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. God said to preach this message. You don't see me looking at no notes. God said, preach. Preach what I showed you. Preach what I taught you. Preach by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Jesus, help us, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Look at this. Crowns of heaven to be obtained. Listen, this is not just to say, whoa, God, I did what you asked me. No. This should be the ultimate goal that we are striving for. Even through our faults and failures, even through our mistakes, even through the times we do face plants, and God has to come and scrape us off the ground. Hallelujah. There are what? These things that are precious, you won't know until you get there. And you're going to see how precious those things are. People walking around with these things, you're going to know they did something special for the Lord. Special. And it's going to go on through eternity. Thank you, God. And so one of them is this. The crown of life given to those, look at this, who persevere and remain faithful through trials, suffering, and even martyrdom. Some of you are called to even preach to the ladies of the night, knowing that your life is at risk. Even to martyrdom, God is going to give you a crown of life. Someone has to tell them. Can I get an amen? Someone has to preach to them. Look at James 1 and 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Turn to your neighbor and ask your neighbor, do you love God? Listen, for all of you that are here this morning, if you didn't love God, you wouldn't be here. Can I get amen? You're here because you love God. And he's brought you here to be built up in your faith. Hallelujah. To know that what you're doing for him is not in vain. That there is a crown to achieve. Hallelujah. Look at this in Revelation 2:10. Do not fear any of those things which are about to you're suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. He was talking about the apostles back then. But we can see what God is doing even today. Look at our brother Kurt, who is doing a mighty work, a turning point. The devil took him out. God could have said no and deferred the bullet. No. Some of us suffer even martyrdom. I think there's a book on the table. I think it's here. The Book of Martyrs. In our present day around the world, people are dying for the faith. Wow. Do not fear any of those things which are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil's about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death. I will give you the what? Crown of life. Be faithful, my brother, my sister. Be faithful all the way to the end. All the way to your dying breath. When the breath of life leaves you, be faithful to that point so that God will give you the crown of life. Thank you, God. And then there's an incorruptible crown. Look at this. The incorruptible victor's crown awarded to believers who exercise self-control, master their flesh, and successfully run the spiritual race. You know what mastering your flesh is? Say no to the things of the world, to things of the devil, the things that are not of God. You just got to say, no, I'm not going to subject myself to that. I'm not going to speak like that no more. I'm not going to watch that no more. I'm not going to be in the presence of those evildoers. You, if you're in the midst of evildoers, God is saying, are you there preaching the gospel? If you're not, the devil's perverting you. And others, listen, I don't want to stand before God and say, how come you never got out of that? I saved you. How come you never got out of that? I've equipped you. I put pastors and I put people in your life to help you. Listen, we're going to stand naked before God one-on-one, and there's nobody going to be around you but you and God. What will you say then? Look what it says. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Do you not those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown. We're talking like the Olympics, but we for an imperishable crown. You see, that Olympic crown will perish. It'll burn in the rubble. But what God gives you, it'll never perish. Amen. Hallelujah. It'll never perish. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. How many want that kind of a crown? I do. Thank you, God. Look at this. And then he's going to give a crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness promised to those who eagerly anticipate and love his appearing. You ever been around people and you're sharing the gospel and say, you know what? Jesus is coming. And then all of a sudden, they get up and run. Coming. Yes. But if you truly love God, you're going to anticipate his coming. You can't wait till he comes. You can't wait for the change, right? Look at this. In 2 Timothy 4:8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Day means the day of the Lord, capital D. And not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing around the world, those who anticipate his return. Those are the ones he's coming for. He's not coming for those who, you know, I'm just doing my thing. Wake me up before I can make it on to church on time. Come on, you got to love his. When he appears, it's going to be a day of reckoning. Can I get amen? And then he's going to give us a listen, ministers. This is for the ministers. This is for all of us. Can I get amen? This is what this message is all about. He's going to give us the crown of glory, awarded to faithful shepherds, elders, leaders, who tenderly care for the flock of God. Yes. Oh, yes. I remember someone told me. Yes, it was my ex-broker at Veteran Real Estate. I became one of his top sales agents. And I was agent of the year several times. He goes, man, this career, man, you don't know where you're going to go. And I had to put him as a brag. I go, that's not my goal. I had to tell Archer. I go, that's not my goal. My goal is to preach the gospel. My goal is to save those that are lost. And he didn't have a clue on that. He didn't understand that. Yeah, I could have just ignored my call and. Yeah, I could have worked for a Coldwell Banker or Prudential or whatever at the time. But I said, no. Uh-uh. I set you aside to preach the gospel, to be a minister of the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. He goes, and then I'm going to allow you to do that industry on the little time that you got, but I get all the time with you. Thank you, God. Man, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. He has kept me for 37 years. I got saved at 30. I'm 67 now. He has kept me. And he has kept you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you. He's kept you all. And he's going to keep you all. Can I get amen? Look at 1 Peter 5:4 says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not what?
Fade away.
Fade away. And in closing, the last, the very last crown, the crown of rejoicing, the soul winner's crown, given to those who faithfully lead others to Christ and labor for the Lord in their lives of their peers. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I shared with this couple we were ministering to. I said, over the years here, in our home here, you don't see a steeple on the roof. You don't see a big cross on the roof. You don't see a sign that says Amazing Grace or Bible study or a minister lives here. But we walk in this one particular truth that God has given to me and to Amazing Grace. And it's found in just a few churches. Is the baptism in Jesus' name. Acts 2:38. You go to all these other churches, they'll baptize you in the titles. Name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that's it. But they won't give you his name. I took that truth and said, God, use us, God. And when we first got this home here, we dropped oil right here because we got this house by a miracle. We didn't have a lender. We had no money. The people that owned it deeded their name to us and said, just give us $3,000 and we'll walk away. That was God, and God all by himself. And then we were at the fair one day, me and Yolanda, and I was looking at these jacuzzis, and God was giving me like an outdoor, it's rare that he did at that time. He gave me a outdoor vision. I was looking at these jacuzzis, and then a vision came, and I seen souls getting baptized. And I was talking to the guy. And then Yolanda came in. Come on, honey, we don't need one of those. Come on, let's go. I go, and then I took Yolanda with, I go, honey, I'm talking to him because God showed me a vision. He goes, what did he show you? I go, we're going to get one of these because we're going to baptize souls out of here. She goes, oh, she dropped her hands and let me go. I went back. We negotiated. A week later, they were craning that thing over from the parking lot where the bank is. They had to crane it over. It did not fit through the gate. And by the grace of God, we baptized well over 500 souls in that jacuzzi.
Hallelujah.
Over 500 souls and plus. Why? Because we held on to the truth. And God says, I'm going to send them your way because you're going to baptize them in my name.
Yes.
You're going to apply my name on their heart. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off as many as the Lord God will call. And it has burned in my bosom. Hallelujah. Ministers, have something like that burn in you for souls. Can I get amen?
Amen. Glory to God.
Bring them here. Get them baptized and saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. Water baptized in Jesus' name. And watch God do something beautiful in their life. Like he's doing in your life. Like he's doing in my life. God's not done with me yet. And as long as I have health and strength in my bones, can still stand on my 2 feet, I'm going to preach until he says, that's it. And I'm going to preach with you, and you men are going to preach with me. Can I get amen? Right. And then when it's time to pass the baton, you guys take it and run. Amen. Run with it. Hallelujah. Run. Yeah. Don't stop. Thank you, God. And so we are blessed. We are thankful. Thankful to God. Thankful for what he's doing. Thankful that he's using you and me for such a time as this. And don't give up. Don't be discouraged. I know ministry is tough. It's tough at times. But guess what? As the going gets tough, the tough get going. And we're tough because of Christ. We're not doing this on our own strength. We could never do that. God is faithful. And you might be watching right now on YouTube and Facebook. I believe there's a call on your life. Or maybe God's calling you to be saved. And if you never receive Christ, we're going to give you that opportunity right now to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because God wants to do something mighty in your life. He wants to do it now. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. That you too, hallelujah, may receive the gift of salvation and be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and to do a mighty work for God. An unceasable work. It'll never cease until God takes you home. And so pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your heart. Say this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Is he worthy to be praised?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.